ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భగవద్గీత చాప్టర్ 9, చాప్టర్ ఎంటైటిల్డ్ ద మోస్ట్ కాన్ఫిడెన్షియల్ నాలెడ్జ్. టెక్స్ట్ నంబర్ 1. తుతే గుహ్యతమం ప్రవక్ష్యామ్యణసూయవే జ్ఞానం విజ్ఞానసహితం యజ్ఞాత్వా మోక్ష్యసేషుభాత్. ఇదం వర్డ్ టు వర్డ్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అండ్ పర్పోర్ట్ బై His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, My dear Arjuna, because you are never envious of me, I shall impart to you this most confidential knowledge and realization, knowing which you shall be relieved of the miseries of material existence. Purport. As a devotee hears more and more about the Supreme Lord, he becomes enlightened. This hearing process is recommended in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The messages of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are full of potencies, and these potencies can be realized if topics regarding the Supreme Godhead are discussed amongst devotees. This cannot be achieved by the association of mental speculators or academic scholars, for it is realized knowledge. The devotees are constantly engaged in the Supreme Lord's service. The Lord understands the mentality and sincerity of a particular living entity who is engaged in Krishna consciousness, and gives him the intelligence to understand the signs of Krishna in the association of devotees. Discussion of Krishna is very potent, and if a fortunate person has such association and tries to assimilate the knowledge, then he will surely make advancement towards spiritual realization. Lord Krishna, in order to encourage Arjuna to higher and higher elevation in his potent service, describes in this 9th chapter matters more confidential than any he has already disclosed. The very beginning of Bhagavad Gita, the first chapter, is more or less an introduction to the rest of the book, and the second and third chapters, the spiritual knowledge described is called confidential. Topics discussed in the 7th and 8th chapters are specifically related to devotional service, and because they bring enlightenment in Krishna consciousness, they are called more confidential. But the matters which are described in the 9th chapter deal with unalloyed pure devotion. Therefore, this is called the most confidential. One who is situated in the most confidential knowledge of Krishna is naturally transcendental. He therefore has no material pangs, although he is in the material world. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is said that although one who has a sincere desire to render loving service to the Supreme Lord is situated in the conditional state of material existence, he is to be considered liberated. Similarly, we shall find in the Bhagavad Gita 10th chapter that anyone who is engaged in that way is a liberated person. Now, this first verse has specific significance. The words idam jnanam, this knowledge, refer to pure devotional service, which consists of 9 different activities: hearing, chanting, remembering, serving, worshipping, praying, obeying, maintaining friendship, and surrendering everything. By the practice of these 9 elements of devotional service, one is elevated to spiritual consciousness, Krishna consciousness. When one's heart is thus cleared of material contamination, one can understand the science of Krishna. Simply to understand that a living entity is not material is not sufficient. That may be the beginning of spiritual realization, but one should recognize the difference between activities of the body and the spiritual activities of one who understands that he is not the body. In the 7th chapter, we have already discussed the opulent potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his different energies, the inferior and superior natures, and all this material manifestation. Now, in chapter 9, the glories of the Lord will be delineated. The Sanskrit word anasuyave in this verse is also very significant. Generally, the commentators, even if they are highly scholarly, are all envious of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even the most erudite scholars write on Bhagavad Gita very inaccurately. Because they are envious of Krishna, their commentaries are useless. The commentaries given by the devotees of the Lord are bona fide. No one can explain Bhagavad Gita or give perfect knowledge of Krishna if he is envious. One who criticizes the character of Krishna without knowing him is a fool. So such commentaries should be very carefully avoided. For one who understands that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the pure and transcendental personality, these chapters will be very beneficial. It is for the evening Bhagavad Gita class. So today we are beginning this new chapter, 9th chapter, entitled The Most Confidential Knowledge. So in the very beginning, Krishna is telling the qualification to understand this most confidential knowledge. So Krishna is saying that because you are never envious of me, I shall impart to you this most confidential knowledge and realization, knowing which you shall be relieved of the miseries of material existence. So let us discuss. In fact, every word of this particular shloka is very important. Let us try to discuss according to my capacity. So in the first, the purport, Srila Prabhupada, in the first paragraph, Prabhupada is saying that how when a person hears about Krishna more and more, then his faith in executing devotional service becomes very strong. So in this 9th chapter, Krishna is talking directly about devotional service to him. This 9th chapter is actually the the middle chapter of Bhagavad Gita. In this chapter, Krishna is actually giving the most confidential knowledge. Krishna is using the word guhya tama. Guhya means confidential. Guhya tara means more confidential. And guhya tama means most confidential. So in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explained about confidential knowledge. How we are not the body, but we are the spirit soul. And then he explained in the second, third, fourth chapter, he explained more confidential knowledge, which are related to devotional service. But in this chapter, the 9th chapter, Krishna is direct, talking about the most confidential knowledge. Raja Vidya, Raja Guhyam, the king of all the confidential knowledge. So Krishna is speaking about this knowledge. So when we hear about this particular knowledge, when we hear about Krishna, then a person will become more inspired to render service to that person. Unless we understand the glories of a person, we cannot actually become inspired to hear about that person. We cannot become inspired to render service to such a person. So in this, that is why Prabhupada says, the messages of the personality of Godhead are full of potencies, and these potencies can be realized if topics regarding the Supreme Godhead are discussed amongst devotees. So it is very important that one has to discuss the subject matter amongst devotees. If you read the introduction to Bhagavad Gita, in the introduction Prabhupada says that unless a person accepts that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then there is no point in reading this book, Bhagavad Gita. So this is like the hypothesis or the assumption. One has to accept that. Like even in if a person is studying some science, some particular theory, initially they make an assumption. Let us assume such and such, like that. A is equal to this much. So there are certain assumptions. So similarly, even in the spiritual knowledge, one has to at least accept that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this faith, or accepting Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is not something blind faith. In fact, this assumption can be verified when we practice devotional service. Science means you have a particular theory and then you have an experiment. By performing the experiment, we can actually verify the theory. We can verify the assumption. If you are not able to verify the theory and assumption by performing the experiment, then it cannot be called a science. So here, Bhagavad Gita, we have to accept that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And by performing devotional service, we can actually verify, we can actually realize that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. In fact, Krishna is using the word Jnanam Vijnana Sahitam, knowledge and realization. So it is not that simply we just theoretically accept, but then when a person executes devotional service, one can realize, one can directly perceive Pratyaksha Vagamam Dharmyam. One can directly realize that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. One can realize that we are part and parcel of Krishna. So, but then in order to understand this knowledge, one has to actually take the association of devotees. Like even, for example, suppose a person wants to, he is participating in Olympics. So he wants to participate in the Olympics for the running race. So he has to have a particular lifestyle. And he has to have particular association. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai, Shri Shri Gornitai ki jai, Shri Gopal ji ki jai. So unless a person has a proper association, he will not be able to actually inspire to pursue his goal. Even for example, a person is studying, wants to prepare for a competitive exam, is studying 12th standard. Suppose if a person is not going to the school, he is studying from home, then such a person will hardly be inspired to study. So when a person goes to the school, when he sees that so many others are also studying, so then he becomes more encouraged. So similarly, in order to practice devotional service, one has to actually practice in the association of devotees. Like if you have gone to this Badrinath, Kedarnath, especially this Alaknanda River. So in the Ganges, at one place it's called Alaknanda River. So in the Alaknanda River, the currents in the Alaknanda River are so actually fast that you cannot actually, although the depth may not be so, it may not be so deep, but you cannot even stand in that river because current is so fast that you will be, within a matter of few seconds, you will be driven away by that current. So in order to take bath in the Alaknanda River, in that particular holy place, they actually keep a chain. So you have to hold the chain and then you cannot even make a dip into this thing. Because if you dip, you make a dip, you may have to remove the chain, you may have to remove your hand from the chain. So that may, in that 1 second, you may be driven away. So in order to take bath, you have to hold the chain and then you have to take a mug and then take the water and then bathe yourself. So similarly, if you want to practice, this Alaknanda River is like the material world. In this material world, the waves of misery are coming very constantly. They are coming constantly that they can actually drive away a person into great miseries. So, in order to cross this material ocean, or in order to survive in the material ocean, this material world, one has to hold on to the association of devotees, which is like the chain. And what should one do in the association of devotees? One should practice devotional service. Especially one should hear and chant about Krishna. Just the Alaknanda River, you have to hold the chain and then with the mug you take bath. Only is hold the association of devotees and then you basically hear and chant about Krishna. So in fact, this association of devotees is so important that we can understand how great devotees are also aspired for it. Suppose a person is going to be given a death sentence. Suppose a person has committed a great criminal activity, then he is given by the judge death sentence that you have to, he is given an ultimate punishment, death punishment. So before he is hanged to death, the persons will come to him and then ask him, the prison officers will come to him, do you have any last desire? So whatever you have last desire, will try to fulfill that. So then different people will tell different desires. So the last desire of a person before the death, that actually shows the real attachment of that person, isn't it? Because now he is just going to die, and he is given an opportunity to fulfill some desire. Of course, he cannot say that, I don't want to die, don't hang me. So, but then he has to say whatever desires he has. So that shows the real attachment of a person. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam also, there is a personality who just before death, he is expressing his last desire. Who is this personality? Maharaj Parikshit. This Maharaj Parikshit, normally when a person expresses his last desire, he will actually express that desire which he actually, usually in this person, every person is hankering after some opulence. He wants to enjoy some nice food or go on a outing or he wants to see something or he wants to, different kinds of vague desires a person has. But here Maharaj Parikshit, he had actually all the opulences. He was the emperor of the whole planet Earth. So he had complete control over the whole planet Earth. And he was cursed to die when he was very young. So he had beautiful queens to enjoy. So he did not actually lack in that. He had a youthful body. And he had so much of power, wealth, opulence, knowledge, everything he had. So when he had all the opulences, if he is expressing his last desire before death, that means it has to be taken very seriously. When an ordinary person expresses his last desire, like, we don't care about him because he does not have all the opulences. So when he expresses last desire, maybe he will be asking for some opulence or some desire which he could not fulfill, something which he could not enjoy. But Maharaj Parikshit could enjoy everything in his life, but then he still expressed some last desire. What was the last desire of Maharaj Parikshit? He said, Punascha Bhuyat Bhagavatyanante Rati Prasangascha Tadashrayeshu Mahatsu Yamyam Upayami Srishtim Maitrasti Sarvatra Namo Dvijebhya. So after offering obeisances to the Brahmanas, Maharaj Parikshit says that if I have to take birth again in this material world, let me develop unflinching attraction and attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and let me have the association of the devotees of the Supreme Lord, and let me have friendly relation with all the living entities. So he is asking for three things. So these three things, they form the perfect way of life. If you want to know, like, what a person should want in his life. People have different ambitions and desires. But a perfect life means, a perfect desire is these three desires. Life should be so arranged so that we can mold, or we can actually develop these three qualities, or we can fulfill these three particular desires. What are these three desires? To develop attraction to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then to have association, to arrange our life in such a way that we have the association of devotees of the Lord, and then to have a friendly relation with all living entities. Srila Prabhupada writes in that purport that Maharaj Parikshit a pure devotee of the Lord does not desire the association of a person as great as Lord Brahma, even a person as great as Lord Brahma if he is not a devotee of the Lord. On the other hand, a pure devotee desires the association of even a petty living being, an ordinary, insignificant living being, if he is a devotee of the Lord. You see, like, every person in this world, he wants to have contact with different big personalities. He wants to have association with powerful personalities, big personalities, so that he can, like, fulfill so many desires. So when you have a connection with a big personality, you can actually do so many tasks, you can enjoy so many facilities. But then Maharaj Parikshit does not even want the association of a person as great as Lord Brahma if he is not a devotee of the Lord. On the other hand, he actually desires the association of even an ordinary living being if he is a devotee of the Lord. So that is why Prabhupada is writing this purport, that one has to execute devotional service in the association of devotees. And then Prabhupada says that how, when in the association of devotees, when a person hears about the Supreme Lord, then one will be actually completely, all one's miseries will be completely eradicated. Like one has to hear about something or other. Like one devotee was giving the example. He was giving his experience that he had once donated one. He gave this Prabhupada Leelamrit, biography of autobiography of Srila Prabhupada, to one of his brother to read. So his brother told him that I don't have time to read this book. So then that person was reading a book almost as thick as the Prabhupada Leelamrit, and that book was about how to use commas and punctuations while writing in English language. So such a weird topic and such a thick book. A person is spending so much of time in reading such kind of book, but then he's not ready to read about Srila Prabhupada. So every person has to read something or other. Or he has to hear something or other. So we have to do is, we have to hear about Krishna. And when we hear about Krishna, then unlimited amount of miseries will be completely eradicated. It is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Ashesha Sanklesha Samam Vidatte Gunanuvada Shravanam Murare. Kimva Punasta Charana Ravinda Paraga Seva Ratiratma Labda. Ashesha Sanklesha Shamam Vidatte. When a person hears about the activities of the Supreme Lord, then unlimited amount of miseries will come to an end, will be completely eradicated. If a person simply by hearing, if a person can eradicate unlimited amount of miseries, what to speak of a person who actually renders service to the Supreme Lord? There was the British government, one British officer was there. This person, how by rendering a small service to the Lord, small service to the devotees and the deities, how he got so much benefit? It's a very nice story. There was a British officer called Thomas Monroe. So during that British reign, the British government, they passed a law called Land Sealing Act. So they would take away Land Sealing Act, they were actually taking away the land which belonged to many temples. So people started calling this act as Land Stealing Act. So then this person, he came to this Raghavendra Mutt in Mantralay. So then he came to that mutt, came to the head of the mutt, and he told him that actually, according to the Land Sealing Act, we are going to take away this land which belongs to the temple. So you have to give us this land. This head of the mutt, he said, okay, it is all right, but then first you take the permission of the head of the mutt. He said, actually, I am not the head of the mutt. The head of the mutt is actually there in this particular room. You go there and take the permission of the head of the mutt. Then he directed to the samadhi of Raghavendra Swami, who actually comes in the Madhva Sampradaya. So then this British officer went to the samadhi of this Raghavendra Swami, and then that murti of him was there, and then he saw actually that Raghavendra Swami, he had actually entered into samadhi many hundreds of years back. Then he saw Raghavendra Swami sitting live. Then Raghavendra Swami said, you see, Actually, this land was donated by the king for the mutt, for the temple. So you cannot take away the land. The secretary of the British officer got confused. There is nobody inside the room to whom this our British officer is talking to. And then somehow the British officer got convinced by Raghavendra Swami's words. And then he actually did not take away the land. So because of this service rendered by Thomas Munro to this temple and to the devotees, within a short time he got promotion and became viceroy. In fact, he became a devotee of Krishna and then he became a viceroy within a short time, although he was a junior officer. So this may look like some kind of a story. Sometimes people may tell stories exiled, but then it's not some simply story. But then when a person actually practices devotional service, you can also experience so much of change in your life. So that is why Prabhupada is explaining that how one should actually hear about Krishna in the association of devotees. And Krishna is saying that idam tute guhyatamam pravakshyam anasuyave jnanam vijnana sahitam. Krishna is actually imparting the most confidential knowledge along with realization. So when a person executes devotional service, he can actually realize factually how Krishna is the Supreme Lord. He can experience the presence of Krishna in his life. So there is knowledge and realization. Like for example, like we have the example of Hiranyakashipu. So Hiranyakashipu, when his brother Hiranyaksha was killed by Varahadev, all the relatives of Hiranyaksha, they were lamenting for Hiranyaksha. So then Hiranyakashipu started preaching to the relatives of Hiranyaksha. He started saying, he was preaching, saying that, see, after all, the body is temporary, soul is eternal. Why are you actually lamenting for the dead body? Hiranyaksha has died, but then soul is eternal. He has got a fresh body. So you should not lament for it. Ultimately, nobody can avoid death. So he was actually preaching the immortality of the soul, and he was preaching that how body is temporary. So then, after that, then the relatives became pacified and then they went away. But then after preaching to the relatives of Hiranyaksha, he started performing austerities to please Lord Brahma. And what was the purpose of his performing austerities? What was the benediction he asked when Lord Brahma appeared? He performed austerities in order to get immortality of the body. Just before starting to perform austerities, he preached that body is mortal, soul is immortal. Body is temporary, that's what he preached. But then, after that, he started performing austerities to achieve immortality of the body. That means, he was preaching that body is temporary and soul is eternal, but then he himself was not convinced that body is temporary, soul is eternal. He was thinking that he can achieve immortality of the body. So he had knowledge, but he did not have realization. Why he did not have realization? Because he did not actually engage in devotional service of the Lord. So when a person executes devotional service, one will automatically, knowledge will be revealed. Not only that, one will also get One will also develop realized knowledge. Like we have many times we have, when we conduct Bhagavad Gita course, like we have the basic topics, search for happiness, importance of human form of life. Does God exist? One God or many gods? Or who am I? How we are not the body, we are the soul. After 3-4 days, when we actually speak that how God exists and how we are not the body but we are the spirit soul, when a person actually understands this, it should be like a big relief for the person. It should be like when a person wins a big lottery of say 1 crore rupees, and it is like a big relief for a person. He does not have to actually work anymore throughout his life. Does not have to work hard. He can just enjoy with the money. So similarly, when a person actually understands that how we are not the body but we are the spirit soul, it should be like a big relief, because all our problems are because we are identifying ourselves with the body. Because of that, all the problems arise. Because of this misidentification with the body, we try to get happiness by satisfying the body. We try to impress others, or because we identify ourselves with the body, we have to decorate the body so nicely. We have to spend so much of time for the body. Somebody else is more beautiful, or somebody else is having more power, and immediately, we tend to compete with the other person. All this because we are identifying ourselves with the body. Then when you understand that we are not the body, we are the spirit soul, it should be like a big relief. But then, although in the Bhagavad Gita course, when we try to systematically explain that how we are not the body, but we are the spirit soul, but then still, people do not have that conviction. Why? This conviction will come only when a person engages in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and when a person takes the association of devotees. So when a person has these two things, association of devotees, and when a person starts practicing Krishna consciousness, beginning with the chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, then he can actually start realizing the knowledge. He can start realizing what is written in the books. So that is why Bhagavad Gita is known as open secret. Actually, anybody can, Bhagavad Gita book is available everywhere. But then still it is a secret. How can it be a secret? Krishna is saying most confidential knowledge. But then anybody, if he goes to the stall, he can just pay 100 rupees and get a book. If it is most confidential, how can it cost just in 100 rupees we have got the knowledge? So that is, Bhagavad Gita is actually open secret. That means, unless a person comes in contact with the devotee of the Lord, unless a person hears from the devotee of the Lord, unless a person executes devotional service, this knowledge will be will remain a secret to the person. That is why one has to at least theoretically accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there is a nice example, Prabhupada is talking about in the last paragraph, that how in order to understand this knowledge, the qualification for understanding this knowledge is one has to be non-envious. One should not be envious of Krishna, or one should not be envious of anybody, because whatever ability a person has, it is ultimately coming from Krishna. So if you are envious of somebody, it is actually ultimately envy towards Krishna. So at least one has to theoretically accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are so many commentators who are actually writing commentary on the Gita, but then they do not actually accept Krishna as the Supreme Lord. They are actually completely demoniac. Demoniac person, he actually wants to enjoy the property of the Lord. Just like Ravana wanted to enjoy Sita, who was the property of Lord Ram. So demoniac commentators, demoniac people, they take the words of Krishna and then they put their own philosophy, they write commentaries. So Prabhupada would say, okay, if you want to write your philosophy, you write your philosophy, but then why are you using the name of Gita? So if you want to understand Gita, I say one has to understand from a devotee of the Lord. If you want to understand Krishna, one has to understand from a devotee of the Lord. Like, there is a very nice instance. Like most of you, if you have seen the Mahabharata serial. So in the battle of Kurukshetra, when Arjuna was fighting against Bhishma Dev. So Bhishma Dev, at one point of time, he had taken a vow. Because Duryodhana actually ridiculed Bhishma Dev. That if you do not, you are actually not fighting to your full capacity. So that is why we are not winning. Then Bhishma Dev, because he felt that Duryodhana is actually questioning his integrity, his dedication. Bhishma Dev became so angry, he said that tomorrow I will kill all the 5 Pandavas with these 5 arrows. So then Duryodhana became satisfied. Then Duryodhana said, Bhishma Dev, okay, but you give me those 5 arrows, tomorrow before the battle begins, I will give the 5 arrows to you. So then Duryodhana took the 5 arrows and went. So in that night, Krishna sent Arjuna. Krishna told Arjuna, you go to Duryodhana and then ask for 5 arrows. So Arjuna went to the tent of Duryodhana. So when the battle is over, when the day's battle is over, although the Pandavas would come to Kaurava's army, Kaurava's tent, the Kauravas would actually welcome them and receive them very nicely and serve them as a guest, as a host. Although during the day they would be fighting. So Duryodhana welcomed Arjuna and then Duryodhana asked Arjuna, whatever desire you may have, I will fulfill that. Can you tell me what is your desire? Arjuna said, I want those 5 arrows. So then, although they were Kshatriya, although they were demonic people, the Kauravas, but still they had some Vedic culture. So because they had that culture, they actually satisfied the guest by giving those 5 arrows. He gave the 5 arrows to Arjuna. And Bhishma Dev came to know, Bhishma Dev became so angry, he could understand that it is actually the trick of Krishna. Krishna only actually made Arjuna to ask for those 5 arrows. Then Bhishma Dev took a vow. He said that today I will fight in such a way, either I will kill Arjuna, or at least I will make Krishna break his promise. So he took that vow. So then he started, when the battle began, Bhishma Dev started fighting so vigorously, he was killing thousands and millions of soldiers. So then, when he was ultimately fighting with Arjuna, Arjuna was losing. Then it came to such an extent that Arjuna was about to be killed by Bhishma Dev. Arjuna's, at that time, Krishna actually got down from the chariot. He took a chariot, broken chariot wheel, which was lying besides. Then he took the chariot wheel and then he was about to charge towards Bhishma Dev. He was about to attack Bhishma Dev. So then seeing Krishna going to attack Bhishma Dev, Arjuna understood that actually Krishna is breaking the promise. Because Krishna had taken a vow that I will never lift a weapon in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So, Arjuna saw that Krishna is breaking the promise. So, Arjuna started, tried to stop Krishna to attack in attacking Bhishma Dev. If you have seen that famous picture, Krishna is holding the chariot wheel and he was attacking Bhishma Dev. And then Arjuna was holding the leg of Krishna, trying to stop Krishna. So in Srila Prabhupada explains this particular instance in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada makes a point in the purport. Prabhupada says, actually, Krishna was angry at Arjuna and not at Bhishma Dev. Just imagine, Krishna, what is Krishna doing? Bhishma Dev is about to kill Arjuna, is attacking Arjuna. In order to protect his devotee Arjuna, Krishna is lifting a chariot wheel and trying to attack Bhishma Dev. So when any ordinary person, when he sees that picture, he would say that Krishna is actually angry at Bhishma Dev, and Krishna is so pleased with Arjuna that he, in order to protect Arjuna, he is willing to break his promise. That is what an ordinary person would think. But then, what is actually the truth? The truth is, Krishna is angry at Arjuna and not at Bhishma Dev. So this can be understood only when a person hears from the devotee of the Lord. Why Krishna was angry at Arjuna? Because Bhishma Dev was a pure devotee of Krishna. Bhishma Dev had this desire that he wanted to see Krishna in that particular virya ras. He wanted to see Krishna lifting a weapon and trying to fight against him. And Bhishma Dev, because he was such a pure devotee of Krishna, Krishna wanted to fulfill that desire of Bhishma Dev. So Arjuna was actually trying to stop Krishna in trying to fulfill the desire of Bhishma Dev. So Krishna was actually angry at Arjuna and not at Bhishma Dev. So how can we understand this unless a person hears from the devotee of the Lord? So that is why Prabhupada is making the point. There are so many commentators who give commentary on Bhagavad Gita, etc. But then they do not accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are envious of Krishna, but then they are writing commentary on the Gita. So that is why in order to understand Krishna, one has to understand from a devotee of Krishna who does not have any envy towards Krishna. So we'll just take few points. How this envy is actually spoils individually, and it actually troubles us individually, and how it troubles others also. Like once one teacher told a student, if you are actually hating a particular person, the number of persons you hate, you put that many number of potatoes in the basket, and then you bring that basket every day to the school. So then the student started doing that. Today I hated so many people, so let me bring, say, 3 potatoes and bread. So every day, teacher told him to repeat. So after 1 month, the basket was so heavy. Not only it was heavy, it was stinking because the potatoes were rotting. So, envy is also like that. So, when a person is envious, individually, it will be like a big burden for that particular individual person. Just like for that particular student, because he hated so many people, he had to carry a basket containing hundreds of potatoes. So for him, individually, it was a burden. Not only individually for him it was a burden. All the students who were there in the classroom, for them also it was troublesome because the potatoes were so rotting. They were stinking so much that none of them could sit in the class. So when a person is envious of others, so individually it is troublesome and it also troubles others who are surrounding us. So that is the nature of envy. Like Kaliya, the serpent Kaliya, he is a personification of envy. So the Yamuna river, our clear consciousness is like the Yamuna river. Envy is like the serpent Kaliya. When the Kaliya entered the Yamuna river, or that particular lake, the whole lake got spoiled. The whole lake got filled with poison, so much so that any bird which was flying above that lake, they would actually immediately die. They would fall down and die. And all the trees on the bank of the lake all those trees became all the leaves in the tree, all the fruits, flowers, everything fell down. So envy is also like that. When a person is envious individually, it is troublesome and it also troubles others. So if a person wants to overcome envy, the only person who can actually remove envy is Krishna. So when Krishna danced in the hoods of Kaliya, ultimately all the poison from the mouth of Kaliya came out. All the poison from within Kaliya, from all his hoods came out. So then ultimately Kaliya surrendered to Krishna when all the envy came out from us, all the poison came out. So similarly, if we want to overcome envy, we have to invite Krishna and we have to invite Krishna to dance on our tongue by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So when we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, when we chant the holy names of Krishna, then we can actually eradicate, we can remove envy from the core of our heart. Then when a person becomes completely non-envious, then one can understand this most confidential knowledge which actually Krishna describes in this particular chapter. So we had more points, but I'll like to stop here. If anybody has one particular question, we'll take. Otherwise, stop. The cause of envy it is Prabhupada explains in one purport in the first chapter. The cause of envy is because we have got material desires. So when a person, usually if we try to analyze when we have envy towards some other person, we are usually envious of some particular material quality which that particular person has. One can never be envious of a spiritual quality of another person. One can be envious only of a material quality or material opulence of another person. Say somebody else is having more wealth. Because we become envious because we want more material wealth. Somebody else is more knowledgeable because we want more and more knowledge, or we want to develop more memory, or somebody else has more memory. So because we see somebody else having that particular quality, because we think that, because we are having that particular material desire, so I want car, so somebody else is having car, so we become envious of another person. Somebody else, you have a car, but then somebody else has 5 cars, then you are envious of another person. Or in a devotional circle, like somebody else is a better singer, good singer. So because you want to be a good singer, so So you are envious of the other person. So because we have got material desires, so then that is the actually root cause of envy. So there will definitely be some person who will have that particular material opulence more than us. So when we see that particular person, so we immediately become envious. So one has to remove these material desires. So how do we remove these material desires? It is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 9th canto. It is explained that the citizens of Maharaj Ambarish, because they were constantly engaged in hearing and chanting about Krishna, they became completely free from all the material desires, desires of going to the heavenly planets, etc. So one has to engage in hearing and chanting about Krishna. When a person takes complete shelter of Krishna, one can become, can completely eradicate envy. And the Prabhupada also gives another formula. The process of overcoming material desires is devotion plus austerities plus satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. When a person engages in devotional service, and when a person performs austerities, like when a person, like chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, so in one sense it is an austerity, because like you have to sit at a place, you don't feel like chanting, but then you sit at a place and try to hear the Maha Mantra, it is an austerity. And then offering, worshipping the deity form of the Lord, everyone can actually install a deity form of the Lord at his home and offer food to the Lord and then take the prasadam. But then if you have a temple at home, you have to just clean the temple, you have to cook proper bhoga and then like offer it to the Lord, then take it. So little austerity involved, not so much austerity, but then some austerity is there. So when a person engages in this austerities of devotional service with devotion, and when a person satisfies the Supreme Lord, then one will become free from the material desires. So then one can actually overcome envy. So we'll stop here. So we'll take it personally, because we'll take it one to one. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.